In this episode, we're off to our usual start talking about boobs. Don't ask me why. We pull back the curtain and explain some of our inside jokes from last week's episode when we teased Andy for kissing a 50-year-old married woman on the TWIM cruise. Andy shares his theory about Brazilian women, and we discuss why we feel violated when other men peep at us in public urinals and wonder if that makes us homophobic. Welcome to This Week in Boob Jobs with Seth, Andy, and Ben. We're two brothers and a cousin who discuss all the boob jobs that you can think of, starting with the top box office from last week, reviews of movies opening this week, and previews of the movies coming out next week, and then tangents about boob jobs. We also won't spoil any of these movies without first giving you...
what else is there?
Exactly. Well, sex bots. without first giving you a warning. Okay, movie rundown.
And we won't talk about boobs without giving you a warning.
Have we really talked about boobs that much?
No.
Just the last three episodes. Wait, you mean on the podcast or off the podcast?
Because we... Like on.
Okay, yeah, just the last three times we've recorded. Off the podcast, we might talk about it a little more when Jacob's around. I've been going to the gym with Jacob every morning and he... Never mind.
He talks about boobs?
No, he does. Seth,
we have a friend. He's always talking about boobs. Like, always. And I never bring it up, but somehow it always comes up.
Karen sent me a photo today of who's that lady? She's really pretty, but she has really small boobs. She's got blonde hair. Regis and Kelly. It's Kelly.
Oh, jeez.
You know? And she sent me a picture of her and said, look, I found a picture of a beautiful woman with small boobs. And I was like, yeah, she's beautiful. And look how tiny her boobs are. Like,
Who's Kelly?
Oh, Kelly Ripa. You know?
She's an actress.
Yeah, TV personality.
Back to what Jacob says at the gym. What does he say?
Oh, there's like these women working out there, and some of them have some incredible dimensions that are obviously like
false,
not natural.
Yeah. False of Satan.
No, just like very unnatural. Yeah, just unnatural.
So they're witches.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, whatever Big you want to call them. Okay, now that we're done with the boob talk, I'm going to go through the rundown. Okay, movies opening this... Okay, let's start with top box office from last week. There was only one new movie in wide release last week. That was Captain Marvel. We've all seen it. We're going to do a deep dive spoiler review of that today. There's three movies opening this week in wide release. 5 Feet Apart, which I don't think any of us have seen that yet, right?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, I want to see that one, so maybe we'll do a deep dive next week. And then and Captive State, which we all saw. Wonder Park, which none of us saw. Wonder Park is like...
There's a reason why we haven't seen Wonder Park, because, you just saw it in the previews. What else is there to see?
I'm planning on going this weekend with my kids.
Take my kids, too. I'm not looking forward to it.
But is it going to be a Mary Poppins movie where you take... It's for your kids?
And you just sleep through it?
I don't know. I have high hopes for it. It looks like it'll be good to me.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I mean, the problem with the preview is there is no tension in... At least what they show you in the preview, it's like, okay, that's not even a story. Like, there's no tension anywhere. So hopefully the movie delivers
except
a lot more
than the
preview.
Except when the beavers didn't cut down the roller coaster in time. I mean, that was a tense moment.
I guess. But that was that was a moment, but not like...
I know what you mean.
So
I mean,
tense moment, do you mean like a problem?
Well, yeah. Like a story can't be like, I woke up and then I had breakfast and then I went to bed that night and then I woke... Like, it's got
to
be...
There has to be a problem that they have to resolve.
An arc to the story. Yeah.
Arc. Explain to arc.
It's a boat,
I've been thinking,
Andrew,
about that for several weeks.
Is that
Ark of the Covenant?
Indiana Jones.
You got to get something out of the movie. Like, there's got to be some tension and release and
right.
Problem that's resolved.
You watch the preview, you're like, okay, well, like, this girl has a fantasy, but what's the point? You know, what is the point of this movie? And you couldn't get it from the preview. By the way, it's 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it looks like it's probably a dud.
Yeah, that's...
But yeah, I'll drag my kids to it. I'll drag at least one of them to it.
I'm starting to agree with these things because usually it's kind of accurate.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes?
Well,
I don't agree a lot.
Do you know what is accurate? Because they have the critic score, which is the one we always tell, but there's also the user review score. And I tend to always, like, if I give it a good user score, like if it's better than the critic score, it usually matches up with the way I felt about the movie. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, usually the user score and the critic score are the same or very close, but sometimes there's a huge gap. So I should put those on here.
I got confused with your notes. I started daydreaming. I was reading your notes.
Okay. All right. It's all right. Sorry. Okay. And then, okay, Captain Marvel, we talked about movies opening this week. There are only three. And then next week, there's only one new movie in wide release. It is the horror movie called Us by Jordan, it's a Jordan Peele directed movie. He did Get Out. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Does that just mean that that seems wrong? What's wrong going there? 100%?
I don't know. Get Out was rated in the high 90s.
But have you ever seen something that's 100%? I mean, not even Germ Killers are.
I've seen them 100% leading up to it.
I've seen a lot. Like, what's the one Jacob wanted us to review? The mountain climber who.
Oh,
Free
Solo.
Free Solo, yeah. I think that one's 100%. Like, documentaries often are 100%. What was this?
Free Solo, Seth, was not. I saw like most of it the other night and I couldn't sit through it. It was
really boring.
Let me just check.
If I was in rock climbing, I'd probably like it, but it was just.
It's 99%.
Right. I thought it was going to be like a backstory to Han Solo, and I was getting excited. Like Free Solo.
Big letdown.
Why did you like it, though, Ben?
I just thought it was kind of... I mean, it was a documentary. That's what it was.
Yeah, documentaries tend to get like very high scores. They Shall Not Grow Old, Ben, is 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's not totally unusual.
So the 100% horror movie, I was just wondering if maybe it was just like default, and then it will go down as they actually look at it.
No, they actually don't score it until they get a minimum number of critic reviews. I think it's 40.
So maybe it's set at default right now.
No. There's no default. So they don't give any score until they get a minimum number of critic reviews.
They don't just put 100% and then change it once everyone...
Yeah. So if a movie's not pre-screened, then it doesn't have a score. They say no score. And usually bad movies are not pre-screened. And so they don't get a score until later.
So this 100% is interesting because I'm not excited to see it after seeing the preview, but it's 100%.
I think Jordan Peele just has such a good reputation. And I do think the preview is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like the concept. Is really
the preview is really good.
So yeah,
that's true. Isn't it the demons in it end up being themselves?
It's like a mirror image of the family. So each person in the family has like this anyway. Like cool.
I love in the preview when the dad says, "If you want to get crazy, we can get crazy."
If you want to get crazy. We can get crazy.
I also like it when the dad's like, they're singing in the beginning of the preview and the dad and the son's like, isn't that lyric talking about drugs? Yeah. He's like,
it's not, don't do drugs.
He just says, don't ruin the song, don't do drugs.
That's a classic right there. I got five
on it. I got five on it mean? It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
It's a good song. Don't do drugs.
You know what, Andrew, Seth and I talked about this a bit. I think you weren't with us when we did that a few weeks ago. We were talking about the preview.
Yeah. Okay, so before we go through all the movies, I just want to comment on a few things from last week. So first of all, our audio quality was really bad, and I feel really self-conscious about it. It does sound way better after all my editing tricks than it did like the raw audio, but it was still kind of hard to listen to for me, so I apologize for that.
It was a really rough week for us. We were on a cruise.
And then the other thing is we made a lot of inside jokes about Andy kissing this woman that was 10 years older than him that we called J-Lo because she looked a lot like J-Lo. Because the night before we recorded, you had like a makeout session with her and we were teasing you for it. But I think the audience was probably lost. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I can't help myself. Just Andrew, no matter what you do, I'm going to find a way to make a joke.
Well, I mean, that's pretty notable, though. If you're 40 years old, we met some grandmas on the cruise ship. One was a good-looking 50-year-old, and you made out with her. I think that's fair game for teasing, don't you think?
Yeah, but she was, like, she's super attractive.
Oh, yeah, and we all thought she was really attractive, yeah.
But I was I was always expecting myself to impress you guys with all these young ladies that I make out with, but it ended up being
there had been young ladies on the cruise, I'm sure you would have found one of them, but there weren't. There was just this 50-year-old J-Lo girl.
I tried to talk to a few Brazilian girls, but they were younger, but they just, I have a theory on Brazilian women. I'll tell you sometime.
Let's hear it now. Why are you holding out? I want to hear it.
Well, the Brazilians, when I lived in Brazil as a 19-year-old, it felt like all the Brazilians liked me because I was American. But then I started meeting Brazilians in America, and they already
They don't care anymore.
And that it's,
oh, they but, didn't care about you.
Yeah. So if you want a Brazilian girlfriend, you got to go to Brazil.
Yeah,
because you're a rock star.
And not only that, but the girls that came here from Brazil, think about Koi. They're always really wealthy Brazilian, and so they've already been exposed.
Yeah. So
to
you have no
gringos.
Chance.
Yeah, they've already been exposed to gringos. They're not
they don't need money.
They don't. Yeah, and a lot of the girls we talked to in Brazil were
in the favelas. Yeah,
they were just poor, more poor. Not all of them, but
yeah. Think how rich you would have to be as a Brazilian with the exchange rate being a real is worth about a third of a dollar right now, right?
Yeah.
So for them to go on that cruise costs them three times as much.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Because that was a lot of money for us to do the TWIM. Good thing we were sponsored by the cruise line. So the annual TWIM cruise.
So bringing it full circle is that these girls on the trip, they were probably mostly really well-off Brazilian girls. And so they were not intrigued by a balding 40-year-old American.
Balding? That's generous. You're not balding.
Andrew, I am bald.
So,
but it's a sexy bald, you know?
Well, Andrew, oh, yeah. You do look just like Jason
Statham.
That's
a good point.
Everybody says that.
I mean, maybe she could be your sugar mama.
Well, have you seen?
Don't
she
mess
lives
this
in
up.
A, she lives.
Don't mess it up.
She lives in a sweet skyrise apartment.
Yeah, and Andy, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
she's 50. She's probably gonna die before you. Just get on that life insurance policy, and you'll be set for life.
Yes. Well, that's you. I think she's not divorced yet, though. But I let's not bring that up.
Oh my goodness.
So you kissed a married woman?
Well, I didn't realize it. She said she was separated.
Oh, when you texted that, I thought that was a joke. When you said she's getting divorced, I thought you were joking, but she's really married?
Look, I don't know. I couldn't understand. There was some mixture in the translation, you know,
that'll hold up in court.
Yeah.
She doesn't speak English.
She didn't. I couldn't understand that part.
Her accent was too strong, even though she lived in Alabama.
I don't think I'm going to give her our podcast address.
Not anymore,
I told her, I said, no. We have a podcast. Do you want to listen?
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
I could edit this out, but.
No, let's just I'll give it to her next week.
Oh my gosh. If I'd known you were going to give it to her, then I wouldn't have mentioned it.
Well, most people are going to hear our podcast.
Hey, Irene.
Good.
Yeah. This
we were all really struck with you. I'm sorry. We just wanted to tease Andy.
Because we're
You're
jealous.
Obviously a beautiful woman. We were jealous. Yeah. Yeah. So I hope I didn't offend you.
I mean, our wives are just lucky we're married.
Okay. So where were we? Should we?
We were talking
about let's start. Us. Start from the top. Movies from last week. Should we start with a review of Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to play the trailer for Captain Marvel.
So Skrulls are the bad guys, and you're a Kree, a race of noble warriors.
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes. I keep having these memories. Something in my past is the key to all of this.
This war is just the beginning.
I'm not gonna fight your war. I'm gonna end it.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Captain Marvel. This is 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's made a ton of money, $153 million domestically over the weekend, and I was going to say this is definitely the best movie out right now. It doesn't stack up very well to the latest Marvel movies. I kind of felt like it wasn't as good as Thor Ragnarok that came out last year, or Spider-Man Homecoming, or even Avengers, but it was still solid. I loved seeing Brie Larson.
Who is she? I like her.
You do?
Yeah, I really like her.
So the thing is, I was let down a little bit by her because she's more of a deep character. She brings depth to her acting, but she doesn't bring a lot of humor very well. And they tried to do this Guardians of the Galaxy kind of feel to it, but she's just not funny the way that Chris Pratt is funny, or the way that Chris Hemsworth as Thor is just really naturally funny. Like, she didn't crack any good jokes.
I don't know that she even tried to be funny, though.
No, they weren't trying to make her funny. It was kind of like a tonal clash because, you know, the Krolls, those, like, weird-looking aliens, they were doing this banter that was really funny with her.
Yeah. My brother-in-law's last name is Kroll.
Oh, yeah. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The aliens were really funny. And they were, like, really immersed in Western American slang.
Yeah.
Which it was like, yeah, that kind of took me out of it for a little bit, like the suspension of disbelief.
I know. It did, but then they did mention they're using universal translators, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but it was funny when she's like, before I kick my foot in a place it doesn't belong, and he looks at him like, am I supposed to know where that is? They're all like, up your butt.
Yeah, they all say it together.
Yeah.
I thought maybe this wasn't like humorous, but my favorite part of the movie, like it just made me so happy, was like she's escaping at the beginning from that like mind torture that they were doing, or mind sucking. Yeah. They were like reading her mind. And there's this one part where she's beating everyone up, and then there's this one guy that walks out, he's green faced and he screams like, ah, and she goes, ah, back, and then beats him up.
That's how you play basketball.
I do?
Yeah. Remember I was telling you that when we were doing that basketball tournament on the cruise, like when somebody's taking a shot, you run up to them and go, ah! Like you try and like frighten them to miss their shot, and it actually works.
Well, I didn't realize that's how you play basketball. Like, I mean, you know, you try to talk to people, get in their mind.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I remember that part.
The basketball part? Or
No, in the movie where she yelled back at those guys.
Do you remember that really cute Colombian that was guarding me?
Yes.
In basketball?
No, she was from Ecuador.
Oh, Ecuador. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
So, Seth, you really liked it.
I did like it. I thought it was solid. I didn't think it was as good as some of the most recent Marvel movies that came out, like the ones I mentioned. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Brie Larson, and I liked the movie. It was good. It was great. I really liked it. Yeah. What did you think?
I don't know. I liked her. I don't know. Like halfway through, I was like, oh, I guess I don't like superhero movies. I don't know.
It
just didn't hit the spot for me.
Well, there's a couple things I wanted to bring up about the movie. First of all, is this a second female superhero movie, like notable after Wonder Woman that we've had?
Okay, so let me think for a sec. Wonder Woman, does Daisy Ridley in Star Wars count? Episode 7? And I guess both not, Star Wars. Maybe she's not
a
superhero.
Yeah, I guess that counts. Yeah, no, that counts. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely the first Marvel female superhero, right?
What about Hermione?
Hermione Granger? No. Hermione Granger? I don't think she would qualify. Because that was really a Harry Potter movie. True. He was the lead of that.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, and I don't even follow. If you ask someone like me, I don't watch very many like superhero movies. And that's the first girl I remember is, besides X-Men.
Is who? Hermione? Or?
No.
Daisy Ridley? Wonder Woman. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Like when I think female superheroes, Wonder Woman's first. And then now Captain Marvel second.
Yeah. And is X-Men considered a superhero?
Yeah.
Because I do remember like the blue face sexy girl that changes it.
I guess there's a lot of women in X-Men, huh?
But they're not like the main.
Yeah, they're not the main characters.
They're not like the. So there was a lot of feminism, feminist kind of ideas in the movie. And I thought it was pretty cool. Definitely, you know, we talked a lot about the Bechdel test last week.
Oh, yeah.
This definitely like there were. I don't know if it would satisfy the reverse of a Bechdel test where there were two men that had a conversation. probably. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of female presence. There was a lot of messages about, you know, women in the workplace, women, you know, Rambo set this girl, her friend's name, last name was Rambo, I guess, but setting an example for her daughter by, you know, going and fighting. They mentioned that at the time that, Captain Marvel flew that plane and got in the accident. Women weren't allowed to be in combat in the Air Force, and that was 1989.
That was crazy.
That was the year she was born.
Oh, yeah, is it?
Yeah.
It probably is, huh?
I always like to look up stuff on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And that was
Yeah, there was a lot of that. And that was like weaved through the movie. And it didn't feel like baggage. It just felt like part of the show that really worked.
It didn't hit you over the head with it. It was subtle.
Right. And I was trying to like, you know, I was kind of confused by how the story played out because the movie was not shown in chronological order. They started partway through.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she wakes up like, oh, I have no memory of anything. And I just thought, oh, great. Again? Like, hasn't...
Right. The okay. first 10 minutes, I was really confused.
But then they kept flashing back. Maybe it's a spoilers, but I got confused because it wasn't chronological order. And I wish they would have done it in chronological order just because I got kind of mixed up.
Yeah, me too. I did too.
I like it when things are really confusing and not in chronological order.
I love.
Well, you
cat.
Know what was worse?
That cat was. Oh, so yeah, funny.
That cat's name was Goose.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that cat like a sidekick for Captain Marvel, or?
Well, Goose was the character in Top Gun. He's the other.
Oh,
pilot.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, do you think it was a reference to?
I just
Top
assumed
Gun?
That's what they were doing. I thought it was just so funny how. I mean, they were setting up the cat to play a major role because they kept like referencing it, and you know they were signaling something was
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah, they like scan it with the Krolls scan it with their like scanner, and it's like high danger alert or something, and then they scan Fury, and it says no threat at all, yeah, and he's like, oh, that machine's obviously broken.
he's upset because like, they don't think he's tough. I thought that yeah. was so funny.
It like hurt his ego, yeah. this little like harmless cat.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, Ben, so how are you feeling about, what's his name? Fury's, what is his name?
Samuel L. Jackson? Actor.
Yeah, how are you feeling about him? Because a couple weeks ago you said, if he's in the movie, it's a crappy movie.
Well, I
but
used to
I disagreed
feel like that.
With you.
In this one, I mean, he was great. He was fine in this. But it was obvious they did something to his face so he looked younger. But
yeah, did you find that? Are you familiar with the idea of Uncanny Valley?
No.
Okay, so like if you have a human character that's like cartoon looking, it doesn't look uncanny. It just looks like a cartoon. And then if you have a human character like a rendered character that looks exactly like a human, then that's not uncanny either. It looks normal. But there's this valley in between as they get from more complicated animation to like a perfect version of like an animation of a person.
Yeah.
There's this part in between that's makes it look uncanny, and that's called Uncanny Valley. It's like
okay. So is that like saying the special
primal.
Effects weren't quite good enough?
Well, no, I'm just asking if you felt that their faces were Uncanny Valley.
No. Like, no. I mean, I just know like he doesn't look that young and good.
It was a little bit to me, especially first, but maybe that's just because I'm not used to seeing him like that. Because as the movie went on, it seemed to look more natural. But at first, I was like, whoa, what the heck is this, you know?
Yeah. I definitely noticed he looked younger.
But did it look uncanny to you?
Explain uncanny.
Like uncomfortably unusual and weird.
Yeah, it looked like I didn't know what they were trying to do with his face.
Yeah, did it look like CGI animated?
Yeah, because sometimes he had white hair, but he was supposed to be young. I was just kind of confused.
In Tron, they especially did that with Jeff Bridges' face. Remember Tron
yeah.
about, what,
yeah.
8 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, I
remember. It was distracting, but in Captain Marvel, it was fine. It was just like, to me, I think it was done really well, but it just...
Yeah.
It just made me wonder, did he ask to look way better, or is this part of the timeline where he has to be younger?
Right.
Because he's looked yeah. younger in a few films lately.
Hmm. Do you remember what other films?
Yeah, the...
His credit card films?
Credit card films?
Credit card.
No, the superhero
he does
one
credit
with
card
Bruce Willis and...
Glass.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Split? I'm sorry. No, he looked old in Glass. He looked younger in... There's one he's like this. It's like a James
Oh, Creed.
Bond.
When he's the boxer in Creed.
What?
Just
that would
yeah.
be so weird.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
he's clearly like just by his body language and body movements. It does look like he's clearly getting old. He has trouble like moving fast. There was a scene in this movie where he's sprinting next
yeah.
to Brie Larson, and you could tell he couldn't really keep up.
Right. He was fine though. You know, I really liked. I mean, Brie was awesome. Samuel L. Jackson did not bother me, which is
good.
All I need. And
yeah,
I loved Jude Law. I love him in movies. There's something so interesting about his character.
I don't know if I've ever loved him, but I did think he brought it in this movie really well.
Yeah, and I was disappointed with, you know, they had their little team with them, the
uh-huh.
Captain Marvel's little team of
right.
blue aliens. They didn't really, I was hoping for more out of the team, but they were almost for totally forgettable.
Were you hoping for more out of Gemma Chan?
Well, I mean, she's...
I was.
Yeah.
But I was just hoping for more from her. I thought this is going to be her breakout.
Yeah, because, well, she's a notable character. And yeah, but there was barely anything.
I don't know. Like, she... What did she have? Like, maybe two lines of dialogue?
I'm sorry. Notable actress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess. But what other big budget movie has she been in besides... Well, she was in Crazy Rich Asians, but I think that's it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think that's her newest, biggest.
Yeah, because I thought they might make something of her in this movie, and I was like, okay, well, towards the end of the movie, like, maybe I should save this for spoilers, but yeah, I'll save it for spoilers, what I want to say about Gemma Chan. But I was kind of disappointed about her future with the franchise.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, too, because there's this interview on IMDb with Gemma Chan, where she's talking about how she's doing all this training with firearms and kickboxing and stuff. And I'm like, wow, she didn't really have any scenes in the movie. It's kind of surprising how much prep she had to do for it.
She did, but yeah, not where I would think she would have to train.
Yeah.
Okay. So you liked it. My wife was really excited to see this one. And I think she's a little unhappy I went without her because just the timing.
Oh, I know.
But I kind of feel bad. Like, I don't know. I didn't like, to me, this is not the best movie I've seen. I mean, so far this year, I'd put like 10 movies ahead of it.
Was your wife excited to go because it's a female hero in it?
You know what's funny? I think so, but ever since we saw Star Wars Episode 7, like, she hasn't seen any Star Wars. She saw that one and she just loved it. And then
that was a good one.
And then we saw Wonder Woman. She really liked that.
But do you think it drew the Star Wars 7 drew the female character? What's her name in the movie?
Daisley Ridley.
I don't remember her character's name.
Oh, her character.
Luke Skywalker. Oh, Brie Larson?
No, I was just trying to remember her name. But the character in Star Wars that is the first female, like, main character that's a Jedi.
Right.
That's the one she went and saw, 7, right?
Uh-huh.
And she... So did she like it because of the girl, or did she just like the story or the movie?
Well, I mean, obviously the movie. That was a really good film. But
that,
I think...
That was as good as the old one.
Oh, I think it was the best... In my opinion, that's the best Star Wars film made.
I agree.
Yeah. Her name is Rey, by the way.
Oh yeah, Rey.
Star Wars.
So we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, online, there's been this, people are drawing correlations between, if you like the movie, you're not sexist. If you don't like the movie, you must be sexist. And I just, like, it's kind of too bad. Some people feel like that because, I don't know. I mean,
it's kind of like saying, like,
I just didn't think the movie was that great.
It's kind of like saying, if you don't vote for me because I'm this race, then you don't like that race.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, that's not always true.
Well, maybe.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that person just isn't.
Well, I think, like, there were some specific things about this film that, I mean, I totally missed it, but something happened somewhere online where people were making that correlation pretty aggressively. I mean, this is even before the film went to wide release.
I'm trying to think if that's a valid criticism, at least in some cases, you know? Like, are we guilty, as men, are we guilty sometimes of not accepting or identifying with female leads because
No.
they're female?
It is 100% if it's a good movie and if they're a good actress, because I loved all the other Star Wars movies, and then I saw Rey, and I absolutely loved her. I loved the show. I loved everything about it, and it had nothing to do that it wasn't a man.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I would hope so, but, like, in reality, I think we all have inescapable biases. Yeah.
I don't.
But I...
Yeah, it's worth at least
bias here. I just
I think it's worth being introspective to see, like, okay, am I being biased about it? Am I having trouble identifying with female leads? But I agree with you guys, though, both, because I feel like a lot of my favorite movies, I can name a few. Bridesmaids, I loved, all females.
Oh yeah,
and I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer, it was, like, so great.
Yeah.
I love the Pitch Perfect series. So I don't, like, I personally feel like I and part of that, I think, is motivated by me having 4 daughters, and I'm kind of wanting them to see women
that are bad powerful.
Yeah, like the women role models. Like, when there's a good woman role model, I want them to see the movie.
Right.
Because it's a good role model, they get insight about how women can be strong. And so maybe I just have this counter prejudice as well because I have 4 daughters. I don't know.
I don't have any daughters, and I love movies that the women are the lead role.
Especially if they have a boob job.
I don't think Ray did, and I have a crush on her.
Ray? I don't know why I said that. I was just trying to bring up boob jobs again. I'm going to cut that out. That's a stupid thing to say.
I mean, there's some more stuff I want to talk about in this, but I wonder if we should save it for spoilers.
Go to spoilers? Okay, before we go to spoilers then, I thought the Krolls were funny. I wish the movie had more humor.
Yeah.
But he was funny. Whoever played that Kroll character.
He was really good.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm kind of concerned about is I feel like Captain Marvel might be too powerful for the universe. You know, like she decimate. I can't spoil. Anyway, I'll talk about that in spoilers, but she had her powers like shooting photon lasers from her hands. And you don't.
She was a lot like Iron Man to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even with the glowing eyes.
Hey, she did have a sense of humor, too. Remember when Samuel L. Jackson's picking the lock with like using tape and he gets.
She like blasts it open.
No, at first she watches him do it.
Oh yeah.
And you think he's like saving the day. And then the next room they go into, he pulls out his tape and she just blows the door off. And he's like, why didn't you do that?
You know, that was interesting because like he was the one being saved in that moment. That didn't even occur to me. There was also a moment from the old Indiana Jones where they did...
Yes.
He just pulls out the gun and shoots, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some guy comes out with the sword and does the wind up, they shoot him.
He does like a 5-minute like...
Karate
moves. Yeah, scene of him like doing all these fancy moves with his blade. And then after 5 minutes of like all this build up and music and everything, Indiana Jones just pulls out his revolver and shoots him in the chest.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever hear the myth or the... I don't know what it is, that legend about that part? How?
About how Indiana Jones was feeling sick. Harrison Ford was feeling sick that day.
I wonder if that's true.
I know, me too. We should look it up.
I don't know.
He was sick. That day. It was amazing.
Yeah. It worked too because like you have this idea like what if you're the greatest samurai in Japan? But then one day some American shows up with a gun. Then what does it mean to be the greatest samurai in Japan? Nobody cares. You know, like
you
doesn't
just
kind of
go all in with the theatrics.
Used to be good at arrow shooting, and then then all of a sudden
then somebody shows up with a machine gun, and it doesn't really matter if you can shoot arrows anymore. Okay, before we go to spoilers, I wanted to speculate a little bit on how Captain Marvel, what her role is going to be in the next Avengers. Did you guys stay for the post-credit scenes?
Yeah.
Oh man, I forgot.
Oh, there were two of them.
There were two?
There were two. There's one like kind of really early, like 2 or 3 minutes into the credits, and then there was one like the very, very end.
Dang it. I thought they just moved them up earlier.
Oh.
Because I was waiting for the credits, and then they were like, everybody had left the theater. And the worker was coming by like sweeping up popcorn and stuff. And she came by my row and like right where I was. I'm like, I'll just leave because I guess it's all over.
Oh, okay. Well, when we go to spoilers, I'll tell you what both of those
But they did have
were.
That thing that said Captain Marvel will return in Endgame.
Avengers Endgame. Yeah. So how do you think she... Because I read up on the character from the comics. I never read the comics, but I was just like trying to understand who this character is. And I guess, what is her name?
Carol Danvers?
Carol Danvers. Yeah, yeah. So in the comics, she's dead. Like she had a short appearance and then, which makes sense because I feel like she's too powerful to be in universe all the time, kind of the way Superman is. Like Superman never struggles with any, unless they have kryptonite, but she just seems unstoppable because her power is so powerful.
Yeah.
But I did read that she had some powers relating to time travel. I thought that's what I read. And there was none of that in this movie. And so, because I was speculating that she was going to use some kind of time travel power.
Right.
To undo what Thanos did in Avengers Infinity War. And now I'm not sure what she's going to do to help defeat Thanos.
Because isn't that what you were saying last week that he killed everyone?
He killed half of the population. Or like half of every living creature.
Yeah. So for example, Fury is dead right now.
Right now it's like you guys are talking about badminton and I'm like an American who loves football.
So you don't know what we're talking about?
I'm trying to make sure
Andrew, you didn't see the Thanos one where he gets the 5 stones in his gloves?
Avengers Infinity War.
I don't like these types of movies usually.
Oh, okay. You should watch that one.
And I'm only saying, and I'm just being honest because we might have listeners that, you know, whatever. Not everyone likes every type of movie.
Okay, well, right now in the Marvel Universe, like, main characters are dead. Like, Black Panther is dead. Spider-Man is dead. Fury is dead. Okay. The original Ant-Man, not that Frank Pym, I think is his name, he's dead, along with the original Wasp. Anyway, like half, 50% are dead.
Because some superpower killed him.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
And he was an evil superpower.
And so the last movie ended on a down note. Thanos won, and the movie ended. And you walked out of there totally puzzled, like, what the heck? Like, what just happened? And so there's, you know, obviously I'm speculating that in Avengers Endgame, they're going to be able to fix it somehow. I don't believe the universe is going to carry on with Spider-Man being...
Can Spider-Man be gone?
Spider-Man has another movie coming out this year.
Yeah, and it's a different Spider-Man. Yeah,
isn't he going to be dancing in Spain or something?
There are not so a different many Spider-Man. It's the same. No, it's the same Spider-Man that died.
Okay, sorry. I was thinking of the comic book Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, just... yeah. No.
Yeah, I got you.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man, the one that died in Avengers Infinity War, he has another movie coming out this year.
Yeah, so right when Captain Marvel ended, they had that thing go across the screen that says, Captain Marvel will return in Avengers Endgame. And then last night, they released the trailer for Endgame. I didn't see it yet. So I feel like they're obviously targeting Captain Marvel will come and they'll figure out how to...
I've watched two trailers for Avengers Endgame, and they're both pretty somber. So I wonder how the movie's going to be. I mean, they kind of have to be, because in the universe right now, half the people are dead. So
and okay. People are complaining about his haircut.
Do the green aliens not have penises? Because they're
I must have gone to the bathroom when they explained that part, Andrew.
No, the autopsy, I swear they looked under his blanket.
Oh, yeah. That I forgot. I was wondering why you brought that up, but yeah, in the beginning.
It's not a spoiler. Spoiler, green aliens don't have penises.
The green alien is laying dead on a table, and Fury and whoever the doctor, they both kind of raise their eyebrows at each other and take a peek under his skirt. And then they just make this expression like, ooh, like, you don't know what it, like, it doesn't necessarily mean like, you don't know what it means. It's just kind of like. It's equivalent in real life of like you're going pee in a stall and the guy next to you, like you see him peek over. Does that ever happen to you?
I cannot pee in a stall. Literally, if I was going to get shot and I had to pee next to someone, I could not do it. At football games, I go wait.
Is it because you're worried they're going to like peek at you?
I'm trying to wonder if it's like maybe some suppressed memory of being abused.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I cannot pee.
Because I had a friend in high school that did that. And then he was like, oh, wow. Like he just made some comment about it. And I was like, you are weird, man. Like he peeked over the stall to look at my penis. And since then, I've noticed that like occasionally, like I'm in an airport or a movie theater some public bathroom, the guy next to me will like do this subtle like peek over, and I'm like, I don't know, it's so weird. Like I would never try and see another man's penis.
I walked into the airport on our cruise the other day, and I saw something I wasn't expecting. A guy was standing like really far out.
Oh, really far away from the stall. He was like
that
doing,
explains
like,
door was, like, why the floor is always
a
so
distance
wet.
Shot. I know.
What did Ben say? I missed that.
He said explains why the floor is so wet. You know when you go in a urinal and like the floor
like,
is
what
really
happened
sticky
here?
Do you know what it is? It's prostate problems. Old men, when they start having prostate problems, it comes out more like a spray than a stream.
But I just don't understand. We used to sword fight together.
Oh, geez.
When we were kids.
I still do with my son sometimes.
But I'm too nervous to pee in the stalls. Like, that gives me the most anxiety of having a guy look over.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't get it.
How do we get talking about this?
Because in the movie, Fury takes a peek at the alien's penis.
You know, I think I really stepped out of the theater.
Oh, you didn't see that part?
No, I went.
Where they look at the alien's penis?
I got like five calls right in a row from the same person. Oh. Okay, what is this? And it was nothing.
Oh, man.
So I walked out to take the call.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was interesting.
It reminded me of Far and Away when Nicole Kidman peeks to see Tom Cruise's.
Really?
That's there's funny. Like a there. It's like, have you seen Far and Away, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, I probably saw 30 years ago.
He got shot and he's in like the aristocrat or the really rich house and she pulls up the bowl to look at. And I was like,
penis.
I can't believe that.
That's funny.
Why would you do that? It makes violating someone's privacy.
I understand why you would do that. Like for some reason,
I'm just joking.
For some reason, it doesn't bother me. Like. A woman doing it to a man. It only bothers me a man doing it to a man.
Ah.
Is that because I'm
homophobic? What
about
if a man does it to a woman?
That I feel is more natural. Like I'm okay with that too.
Man versus
I'm
woman.
I'm homophobic,
woman.
I guess. I guess I'm because like when I'm in a stall and somebody peeks.
It's just weird.
I don't know. I feel kind of violated. violated. Yeah.
Okay, this is a question I have. This isn't going to be political, Ben.
Okay.
But lately they've been catching people saying things 10 years ago. Are you allowed to change your mind? And because I was thinking about a conversation I had.
Everyone reserves the right to make mistakes and to correct those mistakes.
Well, I had a conversation in Costa Rica about like homosexuality, and I regret like my theory on it.
Right.
And so what I'm wondering is like if someone had caught me recording that and then I'd try to become like president, it would have
well, ruined my life. I think that happens to a lot of people, but what's wrong with saying, yeah, I was wrong.
I changed my
mind.
And
I evolved. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with that?
So who's the director of Guardians of the Galaxy that lost his job because of a tweet from like 10 years ago?
I don't remember his name, but I remember the...
James, can't remember his name. He was married to Pam from The Office, and then they got divorced.
I know who you're talking about. Ben's comment about like the CGI thing made me remind me of this comment we had with these girls, and we were in Costa Rica, and they were somehow they started like attacking us on like what we believed about gay people.
Okay.
And it was because they were so forceful. We kind of used your CGI. You know how you said I'm not going to edit this out, Seth. Well,
you changed your mind.
So basically they were saying, well, don't you believe gayness is hereditary? Or not hereditary, like genetic.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, we didn't know how to answer it, and they were attacking us.
Yeah.
And so my brother and I, we were like, well, if it was genetic, wouldn't it have been bred out? Because if it can't be passed on. And so when you, anyway.
Oh, well.
Edit that.
So what you're saying
I think it probably is.
You're saying you evolved on your opinion?
Yeah, but I was just so confused on how, if, you know, like if, okay, well, when we were human, like, well, cavemen, the ones that survived were able to run really fast.
Like natural selection?
Yeah, okay. So I was curious. We were posing the question that how you say it's born, but how can it continue to pass on if two gay people can't have kids? How can that be passed on?
Well, being born with it and being genetic, I don't think are the same thing.
Well, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. Can you please delete this from the...
Okay.
Well...
Delete this from your minds and...
Okay, delete it or not, but that's like a really interesting idea that, like, culturally, we didn't really think about as a culture until about, what, 10 or so years ago.
Yeah.
And so, okay. I mean, what I learned from that is that I believe people are born a certain way, and that's just how they are, right? And, you know, like, how would we... And also, for a lot of this, like, I'm not really qualified to weigh in on it, because what do I know? You know, I'm just going off what I've been able to hear from others. But I don't think there's anything wrong with, well, I think we should be changing our minds if we were presented with new or better information.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I agree.
Of course not. Like, you know, we were talking about this, like, this guy or people, they've done bad tweets or emails or things from like a long time ago, and they got called out now and it upsets their career. I don't know if you can get away from the court of public opinion, but to me, there's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I've evolved.
I've learned things that have made me change my mind.
Yeah. And I don't know how that relates to these situations. I don't know if these people are saying, I don't know if they're like doubling down on their stance from back then, or maybe they haven't evolved. Maybe they're like trying to, I don't know.
And that's usually what people say that are defending them. They say like, well, if they ask them again now and they keep defending it, then maybe there's reason to bring down this ladder on their career and everything. But
well, that is a tough one because, you know, it'd really suck if stuff we got away with as kids, like dumb little stuff, like came back to haunt us now. I know it's not the same types of things, but, you know.
But it's not too far of a stretch from what some, yeah.
Not like we did anything like racist or sexist, but, you know, just like teenagers doing dumb things, like throwing eggs or toilet paper.
I did a lot of things that were, I don't know. I mean, I feel like.
Like we peed on my neighbor's Jeep. And I was thinking about that. If someone peed in my car, I would kill him.
Seriously. Yeah. I think back to the stuff I did. Like, if I saw a kid doing that, I would be so mad. Like, they need to go to jail. But, like, we did it, and like, we didn't think twice about it.
Yeah, at the time, we thought it was so funny. Remember, I mean, like, when we wandered around all
dumb
night,
teenager like, throwing stuff, rocks? Like throwing snowballs or rocks or eggs or toilet paper.
Breaking lampposts with bats.
Yeah, we would wander around, throw rocks at all the lampposts.
In broad daylight, sometimes.
Right.
And if I got kids doing that, I would go smack them so hard. Right. I would be like, how can you be so stupid? But that's what we did.
Do you want to go to spoilers and we can...
Yeah, let's go to spoilers. So the rest of this conversation will be moved to the end of the podcast where we discuss spoilers. Now let's move on to Captive State.
The state of our union is strong.
It's a lie.
Unemployment is the lowest in history.
Everything they're telling you is a lie.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Captive State. Ben and I both saw it. It's 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. That seems about right to me.
Really?
Yeah. What would you rate it?
You know, I would put it in the... I would expect this to be in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Because I wanted to see that over the one we just reviewed, Captain Marvel, because I generally don't like superhero movies, or there's so many now. And Seth told me, you know, if you have to choose one or the other, see Captain Marvel. Which would you have seen?
If I could choose, I would have seen Captive State instead, if I could go back and choose.
Really?
I wish...
Yeah, I didn't feel that way.
Captain Marvel was done by the creators of Captive State, like the cinema. Photography, the directors.
Really? I thought Captive State was really problematic. I didn't find it very enjoyable. Before I do that, let me just summarize like kind of the premise. So Captive State is basically the aftermath of an alien invasion. 10 years after the alien invasion, these aliens are more naturally powerful than humans, and so they hold all humans captive, basically. So it's a really interesting premise. And at the very beginning of the movie, I was thinking, well, is this going to be kind of like a Rival or Ender's Game, where you find out at the end the aliens seem like they're malicious, but really that they're very friendly.
Right.
But in the first 5 minutes of the movie, the aliens vaporize the mom and dad.
That opening was insane.
I know. It was. And so you know right away that these are hostile aliens. It's not going to be like some twist where the aliens are actually the good guys, kind of the way in Captain Marvel was. So, so it was good. It was a great premise. Very interesting concept. So I was excited to see it for that reason. But there were too many characters and they were not rounded. Like they were not developed enough.
Yeah. It seemed like that was almost on purpose, because I don't know that they ever gave any of the characters names.
Well, Gabriel had a name.
He did. But most of them, give names. They didn't even
like the whole plot revolved around Gabriel, but I didn't know if we cared about him. I didn't actually understand at all what his role was.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like this movie, from every moment of this movie, I was captivated. Like I was so interested, but I didn't
every
know.
Every moment
like,
of this movie, I was very confused.
Yeah, they were doing stuff, but I couldn't figure out, like, what's this leading to? If they do this and that, like, what's the next step? I couldn't figure out what they were trying to do, what the goal was, but I was just interested in what was going on.
I couldn't follow what was happening. Like, I could not, even when they explained it, I did not understand. It was pretty interesting how, it was interesting. I did like how they have these really low-tech communication methods. Like, they're using carrier pigeons.
Yeah, because digital stuff doesn't work.
Or maybe the aliens could read it.
Well, they said digital brought... There was a tower that was
jammed the towers.
Digital communication.
Yeah. And then, like... I mean, but there was like, radio stations. They would listen to the radio and stuff. There was some digital communication. It was just hard to know.
I thought they said in the beginning digital communication didn't work.
You heard them listening to the radio, though. That's how they passed along one of their signals.
It could have been analog.
Okay. Yeah, it could have been. But the way they communicated was like they wouldn't send a message. They would like whistle a song, and that would trigger somebody to like...
Yeah, or they put codes in the classified ads, or they send carrier pigeons.
Like a symbol. Yeah. So I did think it was really interesting the way they were working around using technology. It was interesting. It was just so confusing. Like I didn't...
Yeah.
I couldn't follow the plot.
I totally agree. And I think I need to see it again to kind of follow it.
Me too. I need to see it again.
But I don't understand. I was trying to figure out like why I was so interested in it the entire time, because I didn't know anyone's name. I didn't even know what they were doing, but it was so interesting.
I didn't know who to care about.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't know whether to care about the prostitute or John Goodman or Gabriel or Gabriel's brother.
I know.
Because so that was my main problem. I just didn't know who am I rooting for? They didn't seem like they were on the same side. I don't want to get into spoilers, but...
And that girl towards the end who, like, cut her hair and they took the thing out of her, who was driving the car, like, she's so interesting. Maybe she's the one. And then, like, you said, you just... They keep changing over... There's no... you just don't know who's who, who's doing what, but it was super interesting.
So it was, there was definitely a central tension between the humans and aliens. And that was a really compelling concept, but I wanted it to be more personalized. You know, I wanted to understand Gabriel's specific tension because it was not clear.
Right.
And John Goodman's, like, I wanted to see that brought down to a personal level, and it wasn't in the movie. It was really scattered in a micro view.
When you've been explaining this movie, the first thing I thought of was the old version. Who was the guy that played Moses in the very old? He's like a famous actor.
The Ten Commandments.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments. So I know Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
So he played one of the main characters in Planet of the Apes.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It kind of reminds me of that movie in that the apes have taken over the world and the humans are inferior. Is it kind of like that a little bit?
Maybe.
Yeah.
There are some parallels. What really made this movie to me was how it was made and how the cinematography was and look. Because the story, like, to talk about the storyline and stuff, it was hard to follow.
Yeah.
It was hard to follow the
connections. But the concept was really cool.
But the way it started out, and this was in the preview, Andrew, I don't know if you saw the preview. There's like a couple driving in a car, and they pull up under, it looks like a big, long, like a tunnel or a bridge overpass. And so it's really dark under the overpass. And at the end, it's lit, and they see these kind of foreign-looking shapes or alien-looking
things. Like spiders.
Come at him, and the wife's like, turn around. So that's in the preview, and that's how the movie opens. And holy cow.
Oh, that's the same opening.
That was like within the first minute. And so, like, I don't know, totally want to spoil it, but like something happens and then the camera just sits there. And it's looking out the front of the car, and you see in the distance the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just sitting there. And it seemed like it was just sitting there for a long time. Like, is something going to happen? Are we just soaking in what just happened?
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow. This movie's going to be way better than the preview led me to believe. That moment
they made
was
it
like,
clear
that like that that was crazy.
They made it clear that the aliens had they were too powerful to like fight against.
Well,
and
I don't know
that they were malicious.
Because at the end he defeated one. Just like, you know what? I wish I hadn't seen the preview, because in the preview they show a spiky alien.
Yeah.
And in the movie they were really teasing out what the aliens looked like and their form and stuff. And I wish I hadn't seen. I wish the preview hadn't shown that.
Oh yeah, that was kind of a haunting depiction.
Oh,
of an
yeah,
alien,
it was so
though.
Creepy. I was like, it kind of looks like a person with the arms and the head comes up.
Yeah.
And why do spikes come out? Is that like he gets angry and he gets spiky?
Yeah, and then later when they break off the outer shell of the alien, you can see like
he like ripped
its
his
brain
face
inside
off or
and
something.
It's a mouth and yeah, that was
yeah. Then you were yeah, that was an interesting moment because. Because in the opening, you saw what happened. And then later, he gets in like a fist fight and he pulls off, I don't know, a spiky region.
Yeah.
And he's dead. So, and then I guess later they show him in like more like armor suits.
Yeah. Was it like a different version or they were just wearing armor? Yeah, that was interesting.
It was. I mean, it was done really well. It would have been really nice if they explained more what was happening and what was going to be the result of like their whole plan, even the steps along the way.
Should we move to spoilers for this?
Yeah.
Can I ask you something about the spoiler?
Before spoilers?
No,
or after.
Leading to the spoiler.
Okay, yeah.
So there's certain parts of movies that you always remember, like that Indiana Jones part where the ninja jumps out and he's swinging around and he gets shot by Indiana Jones. The part that I love of Planet of the Apes is when Charlton Heston, the humans have like got denigrated or gotten, they can't speak English anymore. They can't speak. The apes all speak. And Charlton Heston, they just look at him as like we might look at like pigs or dogs, you know?
Right.
And so Charlton Heston puts one of the apes grabs Charlton Heston and they don't realize they think humans can't talk. And then Charlton Heston says, "Get your filthy hands off me.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape."
All of them look at him, and you know it's kind of like Chronicles of Narnia, the horse's boy, where the horse talks. All of a sudden, the horse starts talking. You know, if animals could talk, what would they say to us? But what I'm getting at, is there a part where you're like, oh crap, they're gonna, the apes should be nervous? Was there a part where like the aliens should be nervous in this movie from the humans?
We have to go to spoilers to answer that.
Yeah, I was leading to spoilers.
Okay, that's leading to spoilers.
Let's answer that in spoilers. But Andrew, have you not seen the new Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, I have seen it. Yeah, I have.
The one like 6 years ago? The trilogy started.
There was one that just recently came out that I saw. Yeah,
there are three. Like
2 years ago.
Yeah, and
the first one is, it's amazing.
Yeah, I loved them.
Me too. I really liked them.
Yeah. It made me, the way I know like a remake is good, like really good, if it makes me want to go rewatch the old one.
Oh, yeah.
But if I watch the new one and it's like, it doesn't spark any interest in like the history that's built upon the old one, then.
Yeah, because the one Charlton Heston, I feel like I said his name wrong. Didn't that come out in like the 70s?
Well, yeah.
Then they had a remake in like the 90s that was just garbage.
Yeah.
And then the one that was about 10 years ago or 7 years ago, or that one was really good. I don't think it was less than that.
Well, there was one actually that you might have thought was garbage, but it was like in the early 2000s, I think, because I went and saw it and I loved it. I guess I've just always loved, because the first one, I was excited to see it, but
there was,
they didn't make
it. In 2001, there was a version. Okay,
that's
so the one you liked is 1968 with Charlton Heston. The one I hated was 2001.
And I liked that one a lot too.
The best one is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That was 2011. Yeah. It was a trilogy. The next one was 2014, and then the third in 2017.
And those were all really strong, I thought.
Yeah, they were incredible. I mean, they didn't follow the exact as the original. Okay, so in the 2001 version that you said you liked, they have humans dressed up in like ape costumes. And Helena Bonham Carter plays like the sexy ape. So she's dressed like an ape, but they try to make her sexy with like, I don't know, traditional body shape. And it was weird.
You've never been so turned on by a monkey before?
I guess I was just really excited. They, at the very end, there's this like, the apes have taken over, and there's this, or no, something happens at the very end where like the spaceship lands and crashes in, and it's like a time, and you see what's going to happen in the next one, and they never made another one.
Well, what was so cool about the first one is at the end, they figure out, they see the Statue of Liberty washed up on the beach, and you realize they've been on Earth the whole time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the Charlton Heston one.
Yeah. I don't remember if the 2001 version did that. I just remember hating it.
Yeah, that really bugs me too, that they tried to dress up humans as apes. Yeah, that would have been
hard. Well, that sexy ape is like, it's weird.
So hot. So hot.
So hot.
Okay, so should we move into spoilers now so we can discuss how they subvert the aliens or try to? Okay, the rest of this conversation is going to be moved to the end of the episode for the spoiler section. Let's move on to movies coming soon to theaters. There's only one movie out in wide release next week, and that is the Jordan Peele horror called Us.
That's a classic right there. I got five
on it. Messing with that ain't no way. What does I Got Five on it mean? It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm.
I just played a clip from the movie called Us. This 100%, looks very
100%.
Yeah, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, we already talked about this right when we started.
Yeah, it looks really good. Very haunting. But yeah, it's going to be great, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I feel like we already talked about it.
It's going to be great, and you're a good guy.
Being a good guy is one of my pet peeve compliments, because it's a hollow compliment.
Shallow.
You can say it about anybody in the world, like anybody. And it's the most common thing you hear somebody say is like, oh, he's a good guy, but, or he's a good guy. And I hate it, because a girl used that phrase to describe me when she was like talking about why she didn't want to date me.
Oh.
And your cousin, Andy, Georgia.
You're a good guy, but.
he's a good guy, but yada, yada, yada. And so it just became like this emotional trigger for me. And so Andy keeps talking about people, oh, he's a good guy. And I'm like, oh, he's a good guy. Oh, good. So Andy now tries to say it as often as possible, that people are a good guy.
But it's never, it's only guys though. It's not girls. Like, you never say a girl, she's a good guy.
Well, an equivalent is like, oh, he's nice. She's nice. She's nice. Like, you can say, like, have you ever met anybody for the first time that wasn't nice? You know, everybody's nice.
There have been some exceptions.
It doesn't mean anything. It's...
But I know what you mean.
Not in social settings.
I know
though.
What you mean.
Like the worst people you know in your life, you thought they were nice the first time you met them.
Yeah, and you'd really you have to find go out of your way monster to not be able to qualify for that comment.
Yes, yeah.
Hmm, that's interesting. Okay. The worst people you've but, met yeah. are good guys.
But I think the evil characters in us are probably good guys. They're probably nice. Like once you get down to the bottom of it, they're probably
once
nice.
You get to know
good
them.
Guys.
Yeah.
Ben, you're a good guy. So are you, Seth.
Let's move on to Tweet of the Week.
So each week we tweet about all sorts of movie related things we're excited about that just can't fit in this conversation. Our Twitter handle is twim_weekly. So the tweet of the week this week I wanted to talk about is I tweeted about the movie The Girl in the Spider's Web. So did either of you see that? Seth, you just saw, you read the books, right?
I read all the books, yeah.
And Andrew, how about you? Did you see the movie?
I never saw that movie. I didn't even know it existed until you told me.
Why don't you summarize the plot, Ben?
Well, I won't go too much into it. So there are two movies. The first is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and then the second one is The Girl in the Spider's Web. So on the way back from our flight, that was one of the movies I could see on the plane. So I was super excited because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
So I wish you guys had seen this, but...
Isn't there a new one coming out, or did it just barely come out?
It came out in the fall. It was late 2018.
Okay.
Oh, so this is a new movie.
Yeah.
Relatively.
So I was watching it, and if you've seen the preview, it opens up with this guy... He's in his house and the lights go out or the alarm goes off and he walks up to the front panel and behind him is this girl dressed in black with a hood on and she's got like her around her eyes painted white and there's this big statue next to her with wings and she like pushes over the statue and it's connected to this rope that like catches his feet and he's dangling upside down and she says something like, I've been watching you. You just got out of jail. You've been cheating on your wife and you're guilty of this, that, and the other. And she like drops some pictures like she's been monitoring him. And then she says, and then like the wife comes in, she's just been beat up. She's like, her face is bloodied. And she's like, I'm calling the police. And she says to the husband, give me the account number because we're going to transfer all your money. It's something like, we're going to put 20% here and then 80% to your wife. And then the wife hangs up the phone and like gives the account number or something like that. Right. So the wife was in an abusive relationship. He's a bad guy. She's a vigilante who dresses in black, who seeked out this bad guy to exact justice because the justice system didn't work. So that's all conveyed within like 15 seconds of the preview.
And always against men that abuse women. That's her like,
correct.
MO.
And Andrew, both of these movies are really good. So I was watching the second one.
Wait. So what's the one you were just talking about? That's called...
That's the preview for The Girl in the Spider's Web.
And I want to see that one. I remember wanting to see that one. And then you were
There's like a Swedish version.
Yeah, the first one.
And then there's
an
American version. And they have a new actor for the latest one that came out. So I guess, is this a second American version? Because I think there's been a lot of versions.
Yes, this is the second American version. But the actress looks very similar. And I think it's a different director,
actor.
I believe.
Oh.
Anyway. So I was watching this and I was kind of, and you see this in the preview, I was kind of intrigued by why she painted white around her eyes. It's almost like a mask.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, oh, that must be her mask, like her disguise. And I'm like, she reminds me a lot of Batman. And you really have to see the movie to appreciate this, but I'm convinced. So her name is Lisbeth. I'm convinced that Lisbeth in the girl in the Spider's Web is her brother is Batman, Bruce Wayne. They grew up together. They have this.
It's her brother?
I'm convinced they are. This is the same universe.
So she's an orphan
and
just like him.
Yeah.
Okay. So her parents. So they share childhood drama.
Yes. They
trauma with the parents.
There are so many similarities in these movies. Like obviously when they made the movie, they were like nodding to Batman, but it wasn't just one or two little things. She is Batman's sister. I mean, that's all there is to it. They use tech. So I tweeted.
That's all the proof I need.
So I tweeted, I'm convinced the girl in the spider's web is set in the same universe as Batman Begins. She's got to be Bruce Wayne's sister, right? And then I thought about it some more. I'm like, yeah, there are way too many similarities. So I tweeted again. So I said, there are way too many similarities to ignore. Mysterious vigilante dresses in all black, uses smarts and tech to outsmart and overpower bad guys. Tons more similarities. And then if you saw the latest Batman, they drive the same car. They have the same Lamborghini. She has a black.
Oh, is it the same car?
I can't tell the difference, but she stole one.
Okay, it looks the same.
It's a black. They're brother and sister. That's all there's to it. I did a Google search to, I wanted to pull up some Batman pictures and because she has a motorcycle all in black. She has the same car. She has all this technology. She just goes in and she can like hack into anything. there's a part where this guy gets in an elevator and all of a sudden the elevator jams and it's an elevator with a glass back. And then he looks around and across the building, there's an elevator opposite where Lisbeth is. And then in his elevator, he recognizes her. In his elevator, like a phone rings in a cubby and he pulls it out. And so she like has this conversation with him. And he says something like, well, every time this happens, you just disappear. And then they pan over and she's already gone. You know how Batman would always do that?
Yeah.
You guys, she's Batman's sister. That's all there is to it. They grew up together. Don't worry about the details about his origin story. They talked cars. They talked clothes. They learned tech.
Yeah.
So I want you guys to see it. And
they're both tortured souls. So she's a hacker. In the books, she's known as a hacker. But Batman is really the only technologist in the DCU that is computer, like he's got his whole like computer screens and everything.
Yeah.
And they're both detectives too, right? Because she's always solving mysteries, and that's what Batman does too. He's actually the superhero, the only one that's like a detective.
Yeah. There are so many similarities. And in every, well, she can outsmart people just with her wits, but in every physical confrontation, she got her way out of it.
So, which is like Batman too.
Yeah. She doesn't.
Because.
You guys, you got to see this. Watch the second one. Watch the Girl in the Spider's Web.
This is what I want to ask you though, Ben.
You're going to be on board with me.
Which one do I watch though? I'm so confused. You guys said there was one in Sweden, one in America.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the American versions.
That just came out.
Yeah. The one that just came out is the part two. The part one is really good too, the girl with the dragon's tattoo. But the part two is a really strong Batman vibe.
Okay, there's the girl with the dragon tattoo, the Swedish version that came out in 2009. And then there's the American version that came out in 2011.
Right. With
Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara, who played the girl with the dragon tattoo. Uh-huh. But in this version, it's not Rooney Mara. Is it the same series?
I believe, yes. Unless because, I'm totally wrong, okay, it's a continuation. In this version,
from 2018, it's Claire Foy
that
plays the girl. So it's a different actress playing the same character. So it's a continuation, but they switched up who the girl is?
Well, you know how in Spider-Man there are different characters who play it? Same here with Batman's sister.
But it wasn't a reboot. It was...
No, it's a continuation.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Anything else before I wrap it up?
Well, what I was going to say, I was looking up pictures of this, and there were actually a few articles where people posted said, hey, she's a lot like Batman here.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a totally original idea.
No, but...
Oh, I wanted to think you were smart, Ben.
Well, it was your original idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hadn't read anything when I came to that conclusion.
Oh, so it was your idea.
I'm the only one
you
saying
thought about it.
I'm the only one saying they're brothers and sisters. And if you try to correct me on that, we're going to have a big argument.
Yeah, you're just wrong. If you don't think they're brother and sister, you're just wrong.
No, I would love to see that validated in a movie because it would totally work. Maybe they'll like see each other on a train, just high five as they pass.
I would love that. That would be really cool.
They like wink
or
at each
cameo,
other.
Maybe. Yeah. Another one where there's a cameo and he's in
it. Yeah, Ben Affleck shows up and he's like, oh, here's the computer drive you ordered or that you asked me for or something.
Yeah, it's more like the Dark Knight trilogy with Christian Bale, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. All right. This is the end of the spoiler-free section. Thank you for listening to This Week in Boob Jobs. The two things that help us most are subscribing and rating our podcast. If you want to contact us, you can reach us on Twitter at @twim_weekly. We're now beginning our deep dive discussion portion of the show, which will include spoilers for the following movies, Captive State and Captain Marvel. If you do not want to hear spoilers, then stop listening here. However, you might consider staying for the spoiler section because, according to a research study at the University of California, spoilers enhance your enjoyment of movies.
Is that true? I was thinking about boobs.
Oh, okay. Boobs. Yeah. What about boobs?
I forgot that I'd asked that before. What I was thinking is...
You said boobs and Andrew just lost all concentration.
I just lost...
Yeah. Well, I started boobs and Andy's like, okay, I got something else I got to say.
I got to say something. No, what I was going to say is the bare naked ladies. You know, like I was always ashamed to tell my church leaders that I listened to the bare naked ladies.
Yeah, they'd be like, I can't believe you listen to them.
So maybe we should name our podcast The
This Week in Boobs.
No. This Week in Boobs.
Maybe that can be your side project.
And then people are like, what are you talking about? Well, movies.
Movies.
Obviously.
Boobs just means movies.
Like, why do you ask?
Boobs is movies in Portuguese.
Yeah, it actually is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep.
In Portuguese. Okay. Do you love everybody?
I love you.
I think that was sent out to someone in particular.
No, she's asking about the podcast. So,
oh no,
I'll
oh,
just
crap.
Ignore
Should
that.
I edit out the part?
So,
no,
Seth, in different markets, we'll just have to publish a different version that is like the clean version for Andy.
It's like in Panama. Please use this shortened version that's 45 minutes shorter.
You know, Jacob really validated it, though, because Jacob's like this super handsome, blonde-haired guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's a babe.
You know what Jacob told me at the gym this morning that I thought was pretty interesting and insightful? He said, it's weird we met these grandmas on the cruise. And we're like, Andy's communicating with them. We're getting these pictures of like these grandmas.
I know.
Like saying hi. He's like, is this the beginning of a new chapter of our lives? where we're now like friends with grandparents?
I don't know if that's the most depressing thing to me, because I don't have the girl that I met in Panama has two kids that are like 27.
Yeah. She said she's going to be a grandma really soon, didn't she?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm still 18. And now I'm getting, now the only people I can pick up on a cruise are grandmas.
I wouldn't say that. She's
pretty hot, though.
I thought it was cool that you did, but it was just interesting. I don't know. Yeah, it was just interesting.
It is a new phase.
Okay.
Okay.
Any more we want to talk about that?
Well, I feel really shallow, but I remember giving someone advice when I was 36. And I was like, don't worry. I date the same age of girls I dated at 36.
They're still 18.
That I dated when I was 20.
Well, your dad would be proud, because doesn't he say women get more beautiful as they get older?
Oh, yeah. My dad would think I'm a stallion slaying it, because I went for a 50-year-old.
Oh, if you can get a 60-year-old next time we go on a cruise, I'll be so impressed.
So, Andrew,
yes?
What's the age difference between her and your mom?
My mom is 68.
Okay, so that's significant.
No, it's closer to Andy. She's closer, because Andy's 40, she's 50, and his mom is 68.
Okay, but I'll find something else to tease you about.
4 years ago, I was dating a 22-year-old when I was 36, and her mom was 40.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and her mom was hot. Like, I didn't know which one I liked better.
Okay, you told us that story.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I could tell you, like, physically, I could tell you why I liked each of them, but I won't.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with boobs? Because that is the theme of the podcast.
Maybe
today.
I'm not telling you. I don't kiss and tell. This Week in Butts.
We'll tell you next week.
Yeah, next week will be something salacious. Okay, goodbye.
Love you.
You haven't seen it yet? You're going to love it.
Stop spoiling it, you vile woman.
Great. Now I know everything. I don't even need to see it anymore.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we are now discussing the spoilers for Captain Marvel. Okay, Ben, what did you want to say?
I can't remember anymore. I just have a couple little complaints.
Okay, let me tell you the things I was going to talk about in spoilers. So Gemma Chan, I was excited to see her in a big budget movie. Her name is Minerva. She's like, what the twist in this movie is that Captain Marvel's team are really the bad guys. And Gemma Chan's character, Minerva, there's this funny line where she's like, oh, is that why we never hung out? And she's like, no, I just didn't like you. but I was hoping that those characters would survive for like future installments, especially Gemma Chan. But Gemma Chan gets decimated in a space battle towards the end. So that was it for her character. She had maybe two lines. And it's kind of a shame. I was hoping for more from her.
Yeah, so they had that twist, but it was also, the movie was confusing to watch because the aliens can change form.
Yes,
and so
that
I
was
totally
cool.
Lost track of who's who because they're impersonating other people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they kept flashing back to the beginning. So the movie opened where Captain Marvel's laying on the ground, like right
the
after that explosion,
blood.
And she has a bloody nose, but it's blue blood. And then later they have that flashback, and like the person that comes up to shoot her is one of the aliens. But they kept doing that flashback, and details changed, like it was different people. And so I thought, oh, she has blue blood, she's an alien. But then later she did not have blue blood.
Yeah. So was that a Kroll then? Why did she have blue blood?
I was so confused.
That was an inconsistency. I didn't really notice it until you just mentioned it.
That's why we got hired, Ben, for the podcast.
Because they did explain at the end how those people looked human the whole time, but they had blue blood, like Jude Law. And then what is her trainer's?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember her name. The like matriarch or the...
Yeah. Her name escapes me. So anyway, I think most of my complaints about the movie are It was not in chronological order. They made it confusing about who was who, and they kept replaying that scene. It was obviously important, but I totally missed what they were trying to convey with it because they kept changing the characters. They kept, I thought I was like figuring it out, and it changed.
Yeah. I felt like that went on for the first 10 minutes or so, but then their storytelling could have been very improved. It was like kind of scattered. It was very confusing. I was confused too.
So on a ranking of 1 to 10, what do you rank it, Ben?
I'd rank this somewhere around, what's that water one with that just superhero one? Aquaman?
Yeah.
It was kind of like Aquaman to me, where like I didn't really care for it much.
You're not going to go see it again? Or like Star Wars? No, I'm not going to see it again. I literally went and saw that so many times, and I never do that, but it's not.
Episode 7? Yeah, I bought it on DVD. My little girl loves it. We watch it all the time.
I couldn't get my girls interested in it. I took them to see it, but they just don't get it.
Did you feel like Captain Marvel was a little too much like Iron Man?
I think you did.
Well, I mean, her powers are definitely, I don't know, but her powers are like
man-made, right?
Organic. Well, like she got an energy blast from some kind of reactor or something. Yeah, they just gave her the
body absorbed that energy, and she can kind of shoot it out. Like,
because Iron Man is interesting because he's self-made. You know, he is the brains behind his power. He didn't just like,
yeah, you're.
He wasn't in the right place.
I didn't mean that as a character. I just meant at the end when she's flying around and she's shooting.
That did look a lot like
her eyes are glowing. Around.
Yeah,
I just felt.
It reminded me of a lot of The Last Airbender with her eyes glowing.
To me, when
I don't know if you've seen that,
when characters' eyes glow, I just roll my eyes. I've seen that a bajillion times. Can we do something else?
Even Iron Man
in a suit, like it just looks dumb to me.
Really, they all look so cool to me when their eyes glow. The best depiction of it though is The Last Airbender, because his eyes glow, but also he has these tattoos on his body that glow.
But that's a cartoon.
Yeah, but it's so cool. It is so cool.
Andrew, he can move dirt, water, and air. Right,
and
Seth?
fire
and air. Yep. Air. He bends it.
I don't. There's a rage about that. My brothers loved it too, so I got to watch that.
Watch it. It's. I mean, especially if you have kids that are like, I don't know, like
7.
Yeah, 7 to 10. They love it. I loved it actually. I thought it was so good.
Was the cat in another Marvel movie? I feel like that cat has been in another one.
I didn't recognize it except for maybe from Men in Black, but that's a totally different universe.
Maybe that was it. Because
it did remind me of the Men in Black cat.
The scene where, you know, the cat, you know, what happens. It looks very familiar.
It'd be interesting to know if the producer or writer liked cat, because sometimes I feel like people put in things as signatures of like their art or music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Would it be funny if the Men in Black director directed this one?
That's his, like his little...
His signature, yeah. Yeah, that would be fun.
I thought the Stan Lee cameo was they're getting a little over the top. Like when she's walking through the train and he's sitting there with a newspaper and she pulls it down and then they kind of look at each other and smile. And
well, Stan Lee's passed away. Do you know that?
Right.
That part almost made me cry, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see...
And I liked the tribute to him at the beginning of the movie.
Did you see his cameo in Venom?
I did, but I can't recall what it was. I did see the movie.
Well, I guess in Venom it was out of control. He's like walking down the street and the main character runs by him and Stan Lee says something like, "Why am I even here right now?" It was something like, it was way over the top. I just saw Venom and I hated it. And then I just saw this.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I thought in Venom, the banter between the parasite character and I can't remember that guy's name, but I thought that banter was pretty funny.
Oh, hated it.
So how did they get Stan Lee cameo into this movie? He wasn't a CGI Stan Lee, was he?
Did they
like pre-record a bunch of them? They could have pre-recorded a bunch of them before
if he's
he passed
dead.
Away.
I'm sure they've made a digital likeness of him. They totally could have.
But usually you can tell. Like, remember they did a digital likeness of Princess Leia in the...
It didn't look real.
So weird looking. Yeah. I've never seen CGI that looked convincing.
Well...
What about Avatar?
How do you know, Seth? Because if it was convincing, you didn't notice it.
Well, okay. I mean, that's a good point. But I don't know. I mean, I would know, though.
That's pretty funny.
It's usually bad, though. I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't know maybe from watching it, but I'd know from, studying it. Okay, what else do we want to say in spoilers? Oh, let me talk about the end credit scenes, because you didn't see them. I'm actually having trouble remembering what the first one was.
So the first one was, it shows Captain America and Black Widow, mm-hmm. and it's... it's right when they're together on, I guess, that spaceship, and they're like, okay, what's our plan? And then they find Fury's little pager for Captain Marvel, yeah. And they're like,
okay.
And then Captain Marvel shows up. And
right,
she's like,
the pager is like going to run out of batteries or something, so they have it connected to some power source, and they don't know what it's for, but they just know that Fury was trying to reach somebody that way.
Yep.
That's what I thought was the last end credit scene. I can't remember what the other one was.
Because that when Captain Marvel showed up in that scene with Black Widow and Captain America, I got real excited, and then it ended. I was like, no, I want to see it. Like, I want to continue that story.
Yeah. What is funny though, she hasn't aged a day, and supposedly it's been 30 years, you know, since 1989 when the other stuff took place. She looks exactly the same.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Maybe she's aging like Benjamin Button, but in reverse.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe all that space travel, you know how that'll slow down time?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
but
is that
evolved,
it for
right?
Captain Marvel spoilers?
Yeah, that's, I think we...
Okay, that's the end of Captain Marvel spoilers. If you're just joining us now, we are now discussing the spoilers for Captive State. Okay, Andy, before we came into the spoiler section, you asked how the humans...
Where's the Charlton Heston moment when he says, get your filthy hands off me in the Planet of the Apes?
You mean like the most memorable part? Yeah, Seth, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll tell what I think it was. I mean, the very, very end, I think... I was kind of disappointed I did not get to see the resolution. It was like a Greek drama where it happened off stage. Like, you knew it happened, they set it all up, but they didn't show it.
Well, I wonder if they're going for a part two.
It's like the 50s movies with sex.
Oh, yeah, maybe. What'd you say, Andy?
50s movies with sex.
You know, the 50s movies.
Oh, the camera pans away.
With sex.
No, it was...
They see him the next morning.
There was a reveal. Yeah. Andy, there was a reveal at the end. Like, who's on which side each person was on.
Like, who's on first base?
Well, no, it's like it seemed like the humans were divided. Like, there was a group of humans that wanted to be peaceful with the aliens. And then there was this, like, underground element of, like, this group of humans that wanted to attack the aliens and gain their freedom back. And so you weren't sure who was part of the...
And which side would you have been on?
Well, hopefully I would have been on the uprising, because it wouldn't be very nice to be a slave to the alien. They were, like, using humans to for labor, to like...
Slaves.
To exploit the natural resources of Earth. Yeah, slaves, basically. And all the law, like, there was no more government. The aliens were, they would call them the legislators. And so they were kind of governing humans like pets, basically, where they just made all the rules. So the very end of the movie, in the middle of the movie, they make an attack on the aliens with this really interesting bomb that's made out of, like, this see-through jello-looking goop. That is
flubber.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
But it was like a chameleon. Like, if you put it on he would put it on his pants and it would stick to his pants, but then it would become invisible. It would, like,
yeah, when it was armed, it would be a chameleon and it would practically be invisible.
Yeah.
And they were able to just put it on somebody's shoulder. And
so they
used
that. They planted that on, like, one of the human senators when he went to meet with one of the aliens, and then they exploded it to kill that alien.
So he was a suicide bomber.
Unwittingly.
Yeah, they just planted it on him. And then they killed him so that they could kill the alien.
But he didn't know that they were going to kill him.
He was a senator.
Oh, he was an alien.
A senator was going to go meet some aliens, and they planted a bomb on the senator.
But the senator didn't know they were going to blow him up.
Yeah, he didn't know. So they basically sacrificed the senator.
Was the senator good?
No, you don't know.
We don't know.
You didn't even know that was the plan until it happened.
It was for the better good.
Yeah, it was like, we're going to kill... Like, he was a victim, but it was to get an alien.
To kill one to save the world.
Well, they didn't save anybody. Like, they killed one alien, but it didn't.
Are you
really
just, like, throwing out catchphrases?
We're playing catchphrase right now.
But then you find out that John Goodman, at the end of the movie, this is the way the plot kind of comes together. John Goodman goes and reports to the aliens and says, well, I found this underground group that was planning the attacks. Here's the identities of all of them. And by the way, what was the lead guy's, like, role called? He was like the, I don't know.
They called him number one?
No, that was the underground group. They would call, like, the person in charge number one. But, like, the government guy that would go and visit the aliens that had to be sanitized and
I don't remember.
But he was called, like, I don't know, like, the general or something. Like, he was the only person that could go into this, like, enclosed part where the aliens all lived and like speak with them. So John Goodman set up this plot where he ratted out the general as corrupt so he could take over the general's position and go and speak with the aliens. Sorry, it's hard to like explain this. It's really complicated.
Yeah, but. It ended where there was this reveal that John Goodman, you thought he was trying to snub out the rebellion, but it turns out,
yeah,
I think he was working for the rebellion.
Right.
But
he planned for their first attack to be a failure so that he could go in with like a bomb like 20 times as big.
Did he have a bomb?
Yeah, he covered his whole body with that flubber stuff. You didn't see that?
I missed that. Like I couldn't follow what was going on.
Yeah, so they show him going to visit the aliens and they show that flubber covering his entire body.
I didn't catch him putting the bomb on his body.
Yeah, so he went in armed with a giant version of the bomb.
Oh.
And then it made sense like why he wanted the rebellion to fail so that he could gain enough credibility for the aliens to trust him as he ratted everybody out so he could go into their city and explode all of them.
Oh, I wish they would have shown all of that.
They didn't show the explosion, but they did show like during the end credits that every city that they had kind of colonized, like Chicago and like different cities, they were all closed and they killed all the aliens in all of them with the same technique. So, but it was really anticlimactic because you see him about to do it and then they're like, okay, and they did it and it succeeded, but we're not going to show you anymore of it.
Because the movie ran out of time or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, I mean, the movie it wasn't really trying to keep the audience up to date with what was going on. It was just showing you these things that happened. You're trying to figure out how it was all related.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were some reveals, but it was somehow, it was captivating the entire time. I wouldn't say it was, what's the word? Like I wasn't blown away, but there were moments I was like, holy cow, that was incredible.
So I walk up to you. I'm going to see movies tonight on a Friday night, the Ides of March 15th. I say, Ben, what movie should I see that's out? What would you say go see it?
Yeah, yeah.
I would, like I did, I would say go see Marvel first. And if you've seen Marvel, then go see.
I've seen Marvel, yeah.
It was interesting. It was a really great concept.
But what show that's out would you see ahead of? Is there any others?
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah.
Would you see Greta?
Okay, I would have seen Dragon before it.
Would you see Greta?
No, I'd probably see Captive State before Greta. Yeah.
Maeda.
I would see Lego Movie before it. I would see Alita before this one.
Isn't it romantic?
Maybe they're on the same, you know, isn't a romantic, it's a totally opposite genre, but...
Fighting with the Family?
I would have rather seen Captive State than Fighting with the Family, with my family, so...
That's like...
Did you see, I would say go see Madea Family Funeral.
Oh, really?
It's so funny.
I was trying to remember our review of, and you, did you like that one a lot?
Well, I thought it was really funny, but it's not a great movie.
So it's just
funny.
So it's not a good movie, but it's funny. But you'd say you would have seen that one over Captive State.
God, they're so different.
Okay, did we finish with the spoilers for Captive State?
I think so.
The main spoiler, I haven't seen it, so the main spoiler I got out of it is that they don't resolve the ending.
They resolve it. They just don't show it, you know?
Yeah, and they don't hold your hand through the story. They didn't really seem to care if you knew anybody's names or how each action was related to the next action.
I could have used some hand-holding.
Documentary, almost.
No, documentary would have explained it. But it was interesting. Like, the characters, I was really interested in each character. Like, they all seemed concerned and motivated. And especially at the end. Okay, we're in spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So I told you the very beginning of the episode, or sorry, the movie, they pull the... You know, they're driving under the bridge trying to get out. And then at the light at the end of the tunnel, those shapes appear, look like aliens. And she's like, turn around, turn around, turn around. So then there's like this poof. And the people just blow up, I guess. I don't know.
They vaporize.
Yeah, they vaporize.
Yeah, they just turn.
And the camera just like is just still facing out the front window. And like there's like a red sheen, like just covered in blood. And it's just looking forward for a while. And you're just in this situation. And at the end of the movie, you realize... Actually, I'm not sure when you realized it, but there were kids in the back.
Yeah, they showed it pretty soon after. That there were kids were in the back of the car.
But there were kids in the back, and then they were those the two brothers, I believe.
That were the leaders of the insurgents.
Right. right.
Did the kids die?
No, the kids didn't die.
Only the front passengers.
Inexplicably, but at the very end, John Goodman's character gave Gabriel, he gave Gabriel that memory card that had the video on it. And so then I got really confused, like, who are his parents? How do they know each other? Like, I think it was trying to explain everything, but it raised so many questions for me.
It didn't explain it very well. He did say that Gabriel's dad was his partner. So maybe that's what motivated John Goodman to retaliate against the aliens as well. But, you know, it was like, it definitely commented on like a totalitarian state that like that treated the citizens like slaves. I guess that's the way it is in some countries in the world, and it does seem like you want the people to rebel, but on the other hand they don't have enough power to do it successfully. Mm-hmm. to mount a successful rebellion. Okay, yeah. So any more on Captive State?
No, I think we went through it all.